And now, gambling terms. Push, a wager that results in a tie. Even money, bet with the same payout as you wager. Legit, knowing where it's truly legal to gamble in Colorado. You can enjoy legal gaming in Black Hawk, Central City, Cripple Creek, as well as licensed online sports and off-track betting in Colorado. Play legit and gamble only where it's legal. Learn more now at playlegitco.com. A message from the Colorado Division of Gaming. Gambling problem? Call or text 1-800-GAMBLER.
I don't miss the meetings about meetings about meetings.
I had 6 head coaches in 14 years. Culturally, we were probably lost for a few years.
The Red 78 with Alan Quinlan and Niamh Briggs. Subscribe to the Rugby Channel on the OTB Sports app and turn on your notifications now.
OTB AM.
With Gillette, get into your flow with the new Gillette Labs Razor with exfoliating bar.
I'm delighted to say Fiona Hayes is with us this morning to look forward to Ireland against England, which is on this weekend. Fiona, good morning to you.
Good morning, delighted to be here.
Tell us, what's your reaction to the news that we have made a big bet? It's not a secret. We knew what was going to happen. We knew that Johnny Sexton was going to sign a new deal and would be staying through until the World Cup. He said that's the end for him. It does mean, though, that our eggs are very firmly in the Johnny Sexton basket.
I think so, but I also think that with this, you know, we're getting Joey a bit more game time. I think we know exactly what Johnny's like injury-wise. So it'll kind of depend on, I suppose, when we look at the summer tour, we'll get a chance, hopefully over in New Zealand, to get a few guys more game time. It's been kind of levelled out, and hopefully in this England game at the weekend at Twickenham, we'll see both out halves get on and get a shot at equaling that. We know Sexton is the man at the minute, and hopefully when it comes to World Cup he will still be playing the way he is, and he's been protected a lot by Leinster, as Eddie Jones pointed out in his press conference the other day. But it's great for me. I think he's an outstanding player, and he's still bringing it at this age of 36 to the game.
We're not hostage to Sexton either, though. I mean, like, if he's not the starting 10 for the World Cup on form, he won't be the starting 10. Like, I don't think yesterday's news changes the fact that the starting out half for Ireland in next year's World Cup is going to be based on merit.
That's it, and we've seen those in selections this season especially, that it's guys based on form that are getting picked. You know, if Johnny isn't playing well, if he isn't getting enough game time with Leinster, or if he's got a few niggly injuries, I think he won't be out there. We've seen the promise of tens coming through. You know, there's people crying out for Jack Carty, but we know exactly what Johnny Sexton can bring, and I think after this Six Nations we'll see definitely a pecking order in those tens, and everything will hopefully be based on form going forward from that.
I mean, the point it all makes is, really, if somebody takes the jersey off him, they will get the opportunity to take the jersey off him. But there's so limited significant opportunities. There's the summer tour that you've talked about. In the November window, we'll have 2 difficult tests, and then there's next year's Six Nations, and that's it. So the number of games in which you can take that jersey off him is very low. And is there even an opportunity for any of the younger Munster out halves to get a window where they're going to get the big games in Europe now? Because we have to give those big games in Europe to Carberry if he is going to be given an opportunity to push Sexton. And it feels like we've fixed in that this is the pecking order already, and it feels like we're kind of repeating some of the mistakes of previous generations.
Hopefully not. I think we've been crying out for a pecking order like the last year or so. You know, we've had guys come in, we've had the Burns in and out. So I think it's good. I think we're seeing a bit of structure. We know Andy Farrell has talked about form. So yeah, the big games, maybe there isn't opportunities, but I think we have enough out halves there at the minute. We're kind of focusing on the likes of Carberry, who will have to go back in and start ahead of the likes of Ben Healy or Flannery. That's just the way it is for him to get the game time. So there isn't massive opportunity with the games, you know, and obviously we don't have, you know, an Ireland A team. We don't have those games. So it's kind of, I think it's good that this structure is in place. I think we're in the right time for it to happen, for us to settle on maybe Joey being back up to Johnny. And I suppose everyone is just praying that we can keep him fit and playing at the standard he's playing at the minute.
Yeah, the trouble is that both of them are injury prone in different ways. Like, Sexton will play, come back, puts his body on the line, suffers injuries as a result of that frequently, and misses games at this stage of his career as well. That can happen, where a hamstring injury that, you know, in his 20s would have healed after 2 weeks, suddenly a four-weeker. So who's next after that? Because we haven't really seen a minute of Carty that wasn't like in chaos time at the end of the France game this regime. And after that, I don't know. Who is the fourth choice? Is it Healy? Who is it? Is it Billy Burns? Is it Ross Byrne?
I think in looking at what's been going on, I don't think Billy Burns. I think he's had his chance and he hasn't really grabbed that jersey. So I think we've moved on from that. We saw Carty get up this time ahead of him. We haven't seen loads of Carty, but I think Farrell is looking at the provinces, and that's where they'll get their chance. So if both get injured, I think he has to go back and look to that drawing board and see who's the informed player. And you know, you will argue that Healy can play well at times, but he's in and out of that Munster team with Crowley at the minute because we see him in form. The Burns, I think Ross got injured again the other day, so it is really hard. And I suppose that's the joys of rugby, is that especially in that position at 10, you're going to have big massive lads running down your channel really all the time, so it's kind of trying to keep the guys flowing at province level and hoping they'll take that step up. For me, I think it's Carty is the guy that's definitely there. We haven't got enough because Carberry has to see him enough, because Carberry's had to probably get that game time, especially against Italy, so it's just that after that we'll see what's in Farrell's head. Hopefully we won't have to see that.
You know, it is a difficult situation for the coaching ticket, because they do need to see Joey Carberry play every available minute to see if he's capable of playing at the level that we think he is, because we just haven't seen it with injuries. But it's not a ridiculous scenario where you would have both Sexton and Carberry potentially injured at the same time in a World Cup, missing one game or maybe missing two games or maybe both gone for a period of time. And after that, it's like, well, here's somebody we looked at 4 years ago for the World Cup and hasn't really had much of an opportunity since. And then there's a bunch of young players who we're not sure about.
Yeah. When you say it like that, you know, you don't know what they're thinking. They might have said, look, we're going to New Zealand. We are going to divide out that game time. They obviously understand the injury profile of both players. And we haven't seen the likes of Carty. We haven't seen the likes of Healy or whoever else is behind in that order step up and play enough games. So I would be hopeful that maybe, although it's three New Zealand tests, that these guys would get to play at that level and they'd get the appetite for it. And then in November, we could see if they've taken that step up or if they've been playing really well at the Europeans. He might switch a few of these guys in looking at the World Cup ahead.
Yeah, okay. Let's talk about what you expect to happen against England. Eddie Jones is saying we're the most cohesive team in world rugby. He's love bombing us in the advance of this one, which is not really stereotypical Eddie Jones, but certainly trying to ratchet up the pressure on us and take the pressure off his team, which is under a lot of pressure at the moment. So we should ignore that, really, shouldn't we? And just look at the respective strengths of the two teams and go, Ireland are a much stronger team at the moment, and we should be able, when we are the stronger team, to go and inflict our game plan on the opposition and win these games.
Yeah, we know what Eddie's about. He's obviously taking the pressure off his own lads. And I think for an English coach to say any team going over to Twickenham and being, you know, firm favourites and talking about us like that, we know that he's probably talking a little bit of crap saying that, because it's a very hard place to go to. It's a very hard place for any team. We saw that, you know, we've seen England in the last two games. They're not great. The 23-19 win over Wales was good. They're building a little bit. They're swaying from their game plan maybe in the past of big ball carriers. We're not seeing that as much. You know, there's not as much bulk, I don't think, in the teams. He's switched Harry Randall in, so we're seeing less of a kicking game from the nine. So I think Ireland just need to focus on themselves, and that's what they'll do. They know they're building as well. Italy, we can't take much from that game. But I think in the second half of France, we came out and we gave it a blast. You know, Italy, as I said, we saw players put their hand up and say, look, if I want to get in this starting team as well. So there's good competition, we know, up at camp. So I think Ireland will just be focusing on their own game plan. We'll be going out and playing the exact same style of rugby we've been seeing from those first few tests against France.
And like that, that point has been like brought up a bit, this idea, and I guess Eddie Jones is the one putting it forward, that Ireland maybe are in a better place than England. Like, are Ireland on paper a better team than England, because I mean it does seem that England are still kind of working out what sort of team they want to be, and on paper they still have plenty of quality and have traditionally had way more quality than Ireland's.
I think Ireland are far more cohesive in what I'm watching with England. I think he's thrown a few guys in. We've seen, you know, the likes of Freddie Stewart's gone into full back. We see Daly and Slade in the centre partnership. It just doesn't look like it's gelling. Obviously, he'd love to have Tuilagi in there. So I think he's building. This Ireland team, I think Andy Farrell has got them settled. I think we saw, especially when Johnny's on there, he's pulling those strings. We have guys stepping up as first receiver that we probably wouldn't have had him maybe 3-4 years ago. We've props in there every position. Everyone's ball skills is at a high level, you know, and we're seeing that. We're seeing Ireland play a lot of the ball, but there's also an understanding between players, and they have a really, really good understanding of the game plan as well that he's trying to give.
So that's great. How do we get better over the next 12, 14, 16 months?
Yeah, that's it. We don't want to peak too soon anyway. We've seen that in the past. We don't want to open ourselves too soon. I think we just need to keep building. And I suppose the biggest thing is what you talked about, lads, earlier, is that depth. So we've got to get more guys into that position. We've got to get the likes of Lowry in full back for some games. We've got to get a couple of those back rows in there. We've got to get Coombs in there. As you spoke, we've got to start switching up the tens. We obviously want to win games. Ireland have the potential to win a lot of games, but we've got to win them by making a few changes. So when we get to that World Cup, that everyone's on the same level, they're all playing that high intense rugby, but they're all comfortable, and that cohesion hasn't gone because maybe two players have gotten injured.
So do you make changes for this week on the basis that the players are supposed to be interchangeable, they're supposed to be capable of stepping in, and this is the opportunity to do that? Or do you go back to the team that really beat Wales in that first game and go, that's our team? With the exception of Porter, obviously.
Yeah, obviously Porter. I think he's going to go back to that team. I think he's looked at this Six Nations, obviously. You know, France, we've talked about how good they are. We're hoping that maybe they can slip up, and we're next in line. So the Six Nations is still there to be taken. So I think he will go back to that first squad that we've seen, Bar Porter. We might see Healy coming in with Kilcoyne on the bench. I think there's still a little bit more in that team, and I think he wants to see more out of those guys. So although, yeah, we should be interchanging some players, I think he did that against Italy, so I think he will go back for this big Twickenham test, and I think he will go with the original team that we start in that very first game at the Six Nations.
And one last question then, Henshaw in instead of Aki, or Aki in and Henshaw on the bench?
I think he's going to go with Aki. I think especially against that England midfield, we need Aki. We need that power game, and we know what he can bring. I think Henshaw could come on off the bench. That would be my take on it. He's suited to England, I think, Aki. I think he loves, you know, he loves that attacking. He loves getting over that gain line and getting those offloads away. Obviously, Henshaw can offer you a lot more as well, but with this game, it's going to be a kicking game from England, maybe if they start Ben Young. So I would think that we would try to attack, and maybe Aki's the best man to be carrying us over that gain line.
All right, give us your prediction.
I think it's going to be closer than a lot of people think, but I think Ireland by +4.
All right, good stuff. Fiona, enjoy the game. Thanks a million for joining us. Cheers.
Thanks, guys. Bye-bye.
Fiona Hayes giving us her thoughts there. If you want to get in touch, 0879 180 180 is the WhatsApp number, or you can leave a comment in the YouTube stream. And a reminder, OTBAM is brought to you live each morning by Gillette Labs for an effortless finish to your day. It's bang on 8:30 this morning. Let's bring you some Brian O'Driscoll goodness, and then we're going to get into Razzy Rasmus and just exactly why he is a cult hero in South Africa. So Brian O'Driscoll was with Joe in studio last night to look ahead to the game. Here he is talking about the difference between Johnny Sexton and Marcus Smith.
You know what, as well, it's worth just stating, not to labour the point, but in spite of the general improvement in Ireland that we have seen, this Six Nations has once again underlined Sexton's importance. Even against Italy, the difference when he came on versus the previous 60, everything just looked better, smoother, more fluid.
So Joey had just softened them up in the first 60, 55, 60 minutes. For you know, people say they were Joey detractors in some shape or form. It's clear as day, you know, what he does add. And it's funny, I've watched a lot of footage this week because we're doing a piece at the weekend with ITV on Marcus Smith versus Johnny Sexton, and both of them understand space, they really do, but Johnny's understanding is pure experience, whereas Marcus gets it, but he's got this incredible athletic prowess that gets him out of trouble that wouldn't allow other players to be able to survive. Mm. And also he backs himself so much. He's, if in doubt, he'll back his himself, whereas Johnny's now really using his intellect. He's an inferior athlete to Marcus Smith and inferior to many other 10s, but still very capable. If you offer him a gap, he'll still go through it. So it's his passing game and his vision and his ability to attract defenders and then pick the right option is the real differentiator between another player of 37 or 38 and him, and that's why he's still our number one.
Yeah,
for sure. And he's going to start the game this weekend. I think everybody accepts that that is definitely going to be the case. We'll come back to that. That team will be named later in the week, and we'll have rugby every day. To the Southern Hemisphere now. So Razzy Rasmus has done a couple of interviews with the Mail. Really interesting stuff, where he's talked about the video that was leaked in the aftermath of the first test that was massively critical of the referee ahead of the second test, and that clearly had an impact. But he's also talked about the Six Nations and whether or not South Africa should be as part of it. So Stephen Kisby-Green, our resident South African, is with us. Stephen, good morning to you.
Morning, lads. How's it going?
So last time we had you on the show, I think you were actually in South Africa with, what was the name of the bird?
The Drakensberg.
What are you looking at me for?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. In the background. So you've come back.
Yes. Yeah.
And Razzy's gone public. Delighted with life. Like, absolutely delighted. I've never seen a man suspended from anything ever in his life who has enjoyed his suspension as much as Razzy is.
That's proper South African geest. What can we say? You get suspended, you're still getting paid, so he goes on a holiday. Why not?
It's a very long holiday where he invites a journalist from the Daily Mail down to spend, you know, a good bit of quality time and get his side of the story across, I think, is what's happened over the last few days.
Yeah, sorry, I was just looking at Razzy's Twitter account. You've seen that, right?
Yeah.
This morning?
No.
Oh, no. Quote
tweeted an organisation called that Off the Ball.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so we'll come back to that in a while if you want to do the context first. And yeah, Matt Williams was obviously talking about him earlier in the week, so we'll come back to that.
I mean, he's put together a really nice application for the England job, if you ask me, because he's taking this Daily Mail interview as opposed to a South African organisation. He's kind of testing the waters a little bit as to how the English are going to receive him, how we're going to receive him over here. It's a very well calculated move on his part, I think.
Wow. I love my conspiracy theories on this show. That never once crossed my mind. I just thought that he's in a job for life here. It's the job of his dreams. You know, this is exactly what he wanted. He's got everybody where he wants them. He's got the South African rugby public eating out of his hands. He's got the rest of the world. Everybody hates us. We don't care. Proper. And it worked. Everything he's done ever has worked.
Well, exactly. But in the second part of the interview, he actually goes on to say that he's only in a director of rugby role until after the World Cup.
Nice.
And he said that he'll be more than happy to take on England if England offer it to them, and if the English fans don't hate him. But at the moment, he does feel like the English fans hate him. South African fans love him. Irish fans don't really like him too much, except for maybe the Munster fans.
The fans love him, presumably. Although they do feel a little bit like he walked out on them.
Yeah, yeah. But no, I think it's still very much love for Rassi, to be honest.
I forgot you were a Munster fan there, sorry.
Well, yeah.
Do you really think that?
I absolutely think in the Munster hardcore, the feeling towards Rassi is love, and that it would have taken far more of a betrayal than for a man to go back to his home country. Yeah,
exactly.
To
go. I think that's the only one they could have forgiven him for. If he'd gone to England, it would have been like, no,
yeah,
screw you.
Exactly.
But the fact that he went home and won the World Cup. There is undying loyalty towards Rassi from the Munster hardcore.
I think so.
And you can understand why the South Africans seem to have that similar sort of loyalty with him after winning the World Cup. Irish fans might know what that feels like eventually. But he doesn't want to betray the South African fans by going over to England if they do realize, think that it will be an issue. But at the same time, this is the fact that he didn't go to like SA Rugby Magazine, for example, which is one of the biggest rugby magazines in South Africa. To do this sort of deep dive interview, he went to the Daily Mail. It shows that he's very intelligently placing where he wants to put these sorts of ideas. again, there's also the idea of the Six Nations. He wants to try and win the support for South Africa joining the Six Nations if they do.
He thinks it's going to happen, judging from this?
He thinks it'll... His exact words were he thinks it would be awesome. And it does make sense from his... To a certain point of view, if you think same sort of time zone, the flight times are not too dissimilar to flying over to New Zealand or Australia. In fact, it actually takes you longer to fly from South Africa to Australia or New Zealand by about 3 or 4 hours. And then obviously when you get to New Zealand or Australia, you've got to sit around for like 6 or 7 hours to get actually used to the time zones, whereas I've done the trip recently coming back from South Africa. It's really, I was in work the next day and it was no problem at all. So that does make sense. But I don't think it's going to happen personally. I also don't think it's a good idea personally, even though I really want to see the Springboks come and play in the Aviva so I can actually watch some good rugby in the Aviva. I don't think Rossi's gunning for it to happen, but he does think the door is open.
Like, you guys really do owe us. We spanked you so bad. You got rid of your head coach and put Razzie in. That's the sliding doors moment in South African rugby. Whereas if we just beaten you by 3 points or let you have a crappy win, then you still would have had the crap coach. Razzie would have won a Heineken Cup with Munster, and life would have been totally different. So it's on us, Stephen. We will take your gratitude.
No. Well, I mean, Eddie Jones in Japan as well.
It's on us and Brent Pope. Brent Pope's halftime spiel at that time, which obviously Rassi, has often quote tweeted. Yeah, that was the night Rassi says he didn't make his mind up to take the South Africa job, but really it was the night I'd say that he wanted it.
So let's talk about the interview as well. What's the fallout been in South Africa? You were obviously coming up with that. I presume that is now people are like, oh, Rassi isn't just ours for life.
Yeah, it's kind of like a lot of South African fans at the moment, they will sort of be a little bit, and by something they'll be annoyed if he does leave. Like, Rossi used the word hate a lot in the interview. I think that was also a calculated move because he wants to try and test the waters to see how much the betrayal might hurt South Africans. But I don't think too many South Africans will hate him for leaving if he does go over to England, for example. Because also, you can't. Like, he's not in a head coach role at the moment. He's director of rugby, and he's such a good, a brilliant rugby brain that you can't keep him away from head coaching for too long. I don't think he's young. He's got the he's relatively young for a head coach. He's got plenty of time to win World Cups with different teams. So I don't see too many South Africans hating him for leaving. It'll be interesting though if he leaves to England, because the only team that South Africans don't really like more than the Australians is probably the English.
That's fair enough. I think everybody feels the same. So the other issues that he raised, he talked about making Siya Kolisi captain.
Yeah, that was he mentioned he lost a couple of friends in doing so, and he also quotes some of his daughter's parents telling them to tell him that he must stop trying to please his bosses or whatever. And it does kind of, like, there is that undertone, there was that undertone at the time that it was a quota signing or a quota appointment, which obviously it wasn't, and Rossi states that point blank, Sia states that point blank. But there was that undertone from a lot of different pockets of South African society where some people were saying, oh no, he's doing this just to make his job in South Africa more secure. Others were saying that it was purely based on the colour of Sia's skin. And it's...
So there was a visceral racist reaction to it.
I wouldn't say it was visceral, but it was an undertone of a racist reaction to it, yes. And it was the loud minority as opposed to the overarching majority. And for a lot of people, it was like nobody noticed that it was Sia. I mean, everyone noticed because it was obviously the first time it was a black South African captaining the Springboks. But for a lot of people, it was done on form, and you could see the leadership that he has in the group, not only with the Stormers, but also with the Springboks themselves. But at the same time, they also had the issue with Warren Whiteley. There was a lot of people saying that Warren Whiteley wasn't the right captain for the job. because he wasn't the best player in his position. I mean, he was up against Dwayne Vermeulen at the time, and Warren Whiteley is a very atypical South African eighth man. He's more of a number six or a seven than he is an eighth man, but he was playing eight and he was captain, and there was a lot of hatred there, but that was on a different level. So South Africans are never really happy all the time with, because they always think, oh no, my team's captain is better than your team's captain, so he should be captain of the Springboks, sort of thing.
Okay. Breaking Razzie news, what's he tweeting?
So there was a Monday Night Rugby clip which involved Matt Williams and Jerry Thornley, and Matt Williams was talking about Razzie's interview and said, I didn't see any value in him leaking the video, the content of that video is not bad. And Razzie Rasmus quote tweeted that clip saying, I love you Matt Williams, !
What time in the morning is it? What was this?
11:45 p.m. Irish time last night. So what would that have been? 12:01.
No, it's 12:01, yeah.
So I don't know what that means. I never know what tone to take from Razzie Rasmus.
Holiday tweeting.
He was truly living rent free in all of our heads.
He was probably having a bit of a Branovane and Coke.
Oh yeah.
Sorry, that's brandy for you.
Okay. he can literally do what he wants at the moment in South Africa. He won Lions series pretty straightforward in the end, but like using every tactic in the book, won a World Cup. They're the best team in the world. He is beloved. He can walk on water.
Pretty much, yeah.
All right. SKG, thanks very much for that.
OTB AM. With Gillette. Get into your flow with the new Gillette Labs Razor with exfoliating bar.